The scripture today comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, as well as 12 through 17. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, there was a pastor who was working in her church office, and she received a call from the caregiver for her child that her child was at home and was very sick with a fever. And so the caregiver said, "You need to come home." And so, of course, she gathered things up right away, and on the way home, she stopped to get some medication for the fever, came out to her car, and found out that she had locked her keys in the car, of all the times to do that. Well, she called the babysitter and said, I don't know what to do. I can't get into my car. My keys are in there. And the babysitter said, "Well, her fever's going up, so you need to get here. You might use a coat hanger, and you might be able to get the lock undone with a coat hanger." We've all at least given that a shot, haven't we, to do that? "Okay," she said. And so she did find a coat hanger, and she had no idea how to use it and was failing miserably at getting it. And so she prayed to God. And she said, "God, send me somebody who can help me use this hanger to get into my car." And so she's standing there, and up roared this motorcycle, kind of an old beat-up motorcycle, and on it is this bearded guy with a skull cap on his head wrapped around it, and he's just kind of dirty-looking and sort of questionable, you know, but he hopped off his motorcycle and said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she told him what happened. He said, "I can take care of that." And he took the coat hanger, and then 30 seconds, pop, doors open. She said, "Oh, thank you. I was praying to God that God would send me somebody. You are such a nice man." And he said, "No, ma'am, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison last week for car theft." She prayed again, looked up at heaven, and she said, "Thank you, God, for sending me a professional." Well, God has sent you a professional, nicer looking. You don't drive a motorcycle, do you? No, no motorcycle. But she's also a nice person. So, man, you won on all three counts. Good for you. Today, you and Pamela are beginning to know each other and find ways that you can live out your ministry together as you seek to live into your faith-filled future. So today we celebrate what God has done in bringing you together, and we take a moment to define this time and this part of your journey. Because, you know, it's not just Reverend Pamela who is beginning here. In a sense, we are each and all beginning again to understand our ministry in a new way in this time and in this place. Reverend Pamela will provide pastoral leadership and care. Your region will work on your behalf to help you search for your new settled pastor. But also, you have a significant role to play as you are the body of Christ this part of the body of Christ here in Muncie, Indiana. The business world has a term called best practices to describe a way of living out one's profession in the best way possible. And if you want to define it, it's defined as a set of guidelines, ethics, or ideas that represent the most efficient or prudent course of action. A best practice is a method or technique that has been generally accepted as superior to any of the alternatives because it produces results that are superior to those that are achieved by other means. Well, as we think about what might be the best practices for being the church, we might add that we live and act in the most faithful ways so that our results will be fruitful and pleasing to God. Colossians, it's part of the Pauline letters, gives us just such a description of what it means to live best practices. The first part of the chapter tells us what we must leave behind from our former lives. Best practices for Christians means taking off some layers that have gotten in our way from doing the best that we can for God. Take off those things that cause anger or wrath or malice or slander or abusive language from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Seeing that you have stripped off your old self with its practices, you have clothed yourself when you took on Christ in the act of baptism. You have clothed yourselves with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of our Creator. You know, in early Christian times, there were some rituals that were done with baptism that we no longer do today. And one of them I have read about, I'm sure it wasn't done every time, but there were certain times when people would have two sets of clothes when they went into baptism. They would have on a set of old clothes, and then they would go into the waters of baptism, and those clothes would be removed. And when they came out of those waters, now made new in Jesus Christ, they would put on a set of new clothes as a symbol of the change that had happened in them. So I want to ask you to think about this. I know probably your baptisms happened many years ago, but you remember that time when you were baptized. Do you feel like you live out of a different set of values and expectations from God? And are your actions different because you have entered those rivers of baptism and come out a new person on the other side? I know it was a long time ago, but do you feel like your life is lived differently because you are loved and set free in Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism? Well, there's a Danish philosopher and theologian, Soren Kierkegaard, and he grew up in the countryside, surrounded by farms, and on the farms there were geese, and other animals too, but I'm going to tell you about the geese on his farm. He occasionally would write about geese to illustrate some point, and so one time he wrote this story called Tame Geese, and he said, I want you to imagine that geese can talk and act as human beings do and do some of the strange things that we do. So he said, each week when it came time to go to worship, the flock of geese would waddle into the sanctuary and they would sit down, and the sermon always went the same. The high goose would tell the assembled geese of their high destiny and about what a high goal the Creator had appointed geese for. He had given them wings, in fact. And as he said all this, the geese would honk and squawk their approval. The geese would curtsy and the ganders bowed their heads. You know, this was a different time. Soren Kierkegaard, 1800. Okay, the geese curtsied and ganders bowed their heads in honor of the great word the high goose offered. With their wings, the high goose told them they could fly anywhere they wanted around the world. And they were most pleased to hear this. And each week after church, as they dispersed, the geese would waddle out of the sanctuary. You got to think about that. No doubt. You have heard and will hear some challenging calls to action and assurances of God's love from past preachers and those yet to come. So I want you to think about this. Will you listen and then go home, waddle out, and go home and live in the same ways you used to? Or will you let the truth and the words of the gospel live out in you, and will you fly? Because that's what God wants for us. It might keep you safe to stay the same, but you'll never experience the joy and adventure and completeness of living out your fullest potential of being human and being the church that God needs you to be in this world. Well, there's another image of geese I would leave with you, and probably many of you know this, why they fly as a flock in a V formation. You know this? They do that because it is efficient, and it allows them to go further when they take turns. When the one at the point of the V as they fly, after a while, when they get tired, will move to the back, and someone else, another goose, will take their place. In fact, it causes an uplift in the air current underneath them and moves them faster and further than if they just let the same leader do it all the time. Well, in a similar manner, when you and I actively uplift one another, in prayer, in sharing material means, in heart-to-heart friendship and caring, we go further in God's love into the future than if we attempted our pilgrimage alone. I know that you want this ministry you share to be around for a long time. We all want that. And you and Reverend Pamela have work to do, places to fly. So be careful. Don't wear each other out. And take your turn leading. She can't do it all. Speak when you need to speak. Act when you need to act. Share the gift of ministry with each other so that it becomes a shared joy and not an exhausting burden. That is a best practice. So I leave you with this. May you fly high into your future, trusting each other, sharing leadership, seeing the world you are a part of, and addressing the needs of God's world with the best and most faithful practices that your Christian faith allows. God be with you always. Amen.